Hello, class. Ready for our second session today? Amen. We're going to get right into the word after prayer, and we're going to get more, a clearer, deeper understanding of what the spirit of honor is all about. We're going to be looking at areas today of what actually is a life source, and one of the other areas we're going to really focus on today is not allowing your man of God to become too familiar with you. But we'll get into that in a second. Let's get into a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you right now, Lord God, for ever-increasing Word Training Center. We thank you for Apostle Leroy Thompson, Sr. We thank you for the vision, Lord God, that God has placed upon his heart, Lord God. We thank you for this school of ministry. And I trust, Lord, that each and every student will get everything they need out of these classes, Lord God, that each class, Lord God, will impart to them spiritual nuggets and revelation knowledge that's going to help them advance the kingdom of God and advance themselves in everyday life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, class. One of the things we talked about last week, and I want to reiterate it a little bit because I want to make sure we understand the goal and where we what we're striving to do in this class. Our goal in this class is to create a counterculture of honor that will eradicate the spirit of dishonor in individuals' lives, the local church, and the body of Christ. And we're going to endeavor to do that, to create this culture of honor, one individual at a time, one local church at a time, until it spreads to the whole body of Christ. And all it's going to take for that to happen is a few good men and women who begin to walk in that spirit of honor, understanding what it is, knowing how to move forward and to truly honor their man and woman of God, honoring those who are in authority, and begin to see the benefits of what honor can bring. You know, as a partner of this ministry, Ever Increasing Word Training Center, LTMA, or whatever affiliation, organization you with of churches, you know, is going to be very important that we learn how to sow seeds of honor into our life source. And with that said, one of the first key principles I want to talk about is a life source. In the book by Bishop Tudor Bismore, The Spirit of Honor, he talks about life sources. And I want to give you a better definition on than when we talked about last week, a little bit more clearer definition of a life source. A life source is someone who gives life, or a giver of life, or somebody who nurtures life, or speaks into somebody's life, so that the blessing that's on their life can come down on your life in ministry. A life source is somebody who's an originator of life. Jesus was an originator of life, a giver of life, somebody who releases life. And some examples of people who are life sources is not just in the fivefold ministry, but it is in the fivefold ministry, but in every aspect of life. It could be your physical mother or father because they gave you life. It could be a figure or somebody that you look up to that's spoken to your life and helped to nurture you and to give you the guidance you need. That's a life source. And not excluding, but also including, apostles, prophets, pastors, all fivefold ministry gifts, people who speak into life is a life force. All carriers of life must be honored as they carry a certain aspect of the extension of God's life. Jesus is your ultimate example of what a life source is, because the Bible says that he gave his life for the sheep. I'm going to just read a few scriptures concerning Jesus and how he came to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. John 1:4 says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." 1 John 5:12, the A part says, "He that had the Son had life." And that scripture is really dear to me, because back when I was in college and I was seeking God concerning, you know, my life, my, you know, a mate and everything, the Lord told me, said, you know, seek me. He said, begin to develop the life of God that's on the inside of you. He said, he that had the Son had life. So you have life, Zoe life on the inside of you. You as an individual are a life source because the life of God is dwelling on the inside of you. And when you speak that life into other people, you are speaking God's life, God's goodness, and you're helping to mold and to shape their lives. All right, let's move on. Let's move on. I didn't state this last week, but I want to make sure this is probably one of the most important aspects or principles of this class. And if you miss this or don't get this, you missed the whole boat. And here it is. The greatest seed that one can sow is an honor seed. There is no greater seed than an honor seed. It will produce the greatest level of harvest in your life, greater than any other seed that you can sow in your life is an honor seed. I'm going to read it one more time. The greatest seed that one can sow is an honor seed. That's sowing honor. There is no greater seed than an honor seed. It will produce the greatest level of harvest in your life, greater than any other seed that you can sow into someone's life. Remember that, because you definitely will see it again. And some things need to be taught, but there's certain nuggets that need to be caught. And what I mean by that, you want to catch it with your soul, and then you want to marinate it or soak your soul in certain things so that it can become a part of who you are. Honor, as I stated in our last class, is actually the atmosphere that we breathe. Just like, you know, and that atmosphere in this apostolic culture of God that we live in. Just like we breathe air each and every day to survive and don't think much of it because it's so plentiful. But in order to thrive and survive in an apostolic government of God, you have to know how to sow honor, how to receive honor, because, you know, everything works on the basis of that. One of the things I'll be doing in this class a lot is giving you examples and illustrations. One of the things that come to mind is I was born on a military base. I was born on a Marine Corps base in San Diego, Camp Pendleton. My dad was in the Marine Corps for almost 10 years. And I watched as a kid and through just experiences of him being around his peers and his superiors, how a person who has a higher rank, they are honored or they are respected because of the ranks, whether they're a captain, a lieutenant, whether they're an admiral or whatever the position is. You know, there's what is known as enlisted men, but there's also what is known as officers. And there's a distinction between them and how they are honored because of their positions. You know, one of the things I stated last week, you know, we're not all equal in the body of Christ. I mean, God has set up in his government, firstly apostles, secondly prophets, and then he goes on with the other fivefold ministry gifts. But there's those apostolic gifts, the apostle and prophet. Those gifts need to be honored. Those gifts need to be cherished because they are life sources and they produce life. They give out life. They speak life, you know, and their word, or your word, I should say, is going to always be in their mouth. And when you honor them properly, as I've been stating the last two classes, that anointing that's on them now begins to radiate on you. And it elevates you to a higher level. And that's so very important. I'm going to just share a few little nuggets of things I learned as being a member here at Word of Life. One of the things I always endeavor to do, I know now because of COVID, we're not assembling like we have been. But when we were, I always made it a point to get to church early, you know, get to prayer meeting early, because you never know when the apostle is going to show up during prayer meeting and impart some spiritual truths that otherwise you would miss. You know, even after the service is over with, you know, if the apostle is still in the building or on the podium or in the sanctuary, you know, I'm not moving, because he's, you know, sometimes he'll start another message after the message, you know. But these are examples of how you show honor. You know, when the president of the United States or a king or a prime minister walks in the room, out of a respect, people stand up and show them honor. You know, if you can do it for political figures and political and celebrities, much the more so for those who are of the household of faith, those people who hold offices in God's apostolic government. And that's so very important. So let me move on. I don't want to label on that, but every now and then I'll take a side journey and just share some things. So that's just the way I teach. Okay, let's talk about the revelation of the spirit of honor. Honor is a very important aspect in our human existence, but even more so to us as Christians. I find, now this is the author speaking, I'm just reading some things from the book. He says, I find in the body of Christ corporately a tremendous lack of teaching on the subject of honor, which results in tremendous amount of misunderstanding and dishonor shown towards life sources in the body of Christ. The scripture says, my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. But one of the things we're endeavoring to do in these classes is to impart knowledge, you know, and with that knowledge comes revelation, and with that revelation comes manifestation in your life so that you can begin to benefit and be blessed in every area of your life. And I'll share testimonies as the Lord lead, how the Lord's blessed me. And I know I've been a member here for 30 years. Prior to me being a member, you know, my life wasn't bad. But once I got hooked up, and then this is the key here, you know, God will always lead you to the right and the proper brook. When I say brook, you know, we talk about how Elijah, the Lord led him to a brook and he sustained him. I believe God will lead each and every one of us to the right ministry, to the right brook that's going to sustain us. And once you find your pastor, your man or your woman of God, your apostle, you know, that's where you want to, you know, sit at their feet, learn, listen, take notes, and absorb and soak in and soak your soul in what they're saying. Because I'm telling you from experience, I'm not speaking just out of book knowledge, it will manifest and change things in your life. Let me move on. Again, I want to stress, and like I told you in class one, I'm a repeater. The greatest seed a human being can sow is an honor seed. There's no greater seed than an honor seed. All right. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 54. I'm not going to read everything, but I'm going to read some aspects of it. And I'm going to start reading first, and then I'm going to go over some things about it. Now, this is after Jesus, verse 53 says, and it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he was teaching in parables, he departed thence. And verse 54 says, and when he was coming to his own country, he taught them in their synagogues, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence had this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brother James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? You know, it goes on to say, and his sisters, are not they all with us? Whence had this man all these things? And if you ever get a chance, read that same passages in the Message Bible. I have it further down in my notes. We may get to it, but it really brings it home how they disrespected Jesus in his hometown. Let me move on. Verse 57, and they were offended in him, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Or you can say he didn't do many mighty works because they dishonored his office and what he came for. He was dishonored. They looked at Jesus in the natural and not looked at him for what God had done or was doing in his life. With that said, you never let your man of God become familiar or common or regular to you. They were sent by God to bring the blessings of God in your life. Let me read that again. Never let your man of God, your pastor, you know, your apostle, your prophet, never let them become common or too familiar to you, you know, because they were sent by God to bring the blessings of God in your life. Whenever you try to put yourself on the same level as your man of God, your apostolic source, in your life by saying, that's just brother so-and-so. I know his family. I went to school with him. I know his brothers. I know his sisters, just like they did Jesus, you know. And you try to put him on the same level as you are sowing seeds of dishonor. Coming up Baptist, I've seen so many pastors, so many men of God disrespected, you know, because people didn't understand honor. And then, you know, you look at their lives and you see the consequences and the things and the results of dishonor. And one of the things I've learned from that is, you know, I stated last week, you never put your mouth on a man of God, you know, to dishonor them. Let me move on. And I already stated where God will lead you to a particular brook, and that's where he's going to feed you. There needs to be a separation between the pulpit and the laity. You know, like I said, there's different ranks, there's different levels, and there's different anointings. Once you understand, you know, and know where your place is, then you know that, you know, as we talked about last week, upward given so that the blessing can come down, you know. But you got to understand God's government, you know. Firstly, apostles, secondly, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists, and so on and so on, so that we sow proper seeds of honor. Listen to this. Anytime you have dishonor displayed, it inhibits, short circuits, restrains, and blocks the supernatural, the blessing from flowing down into your life. Let me read that again. Anytime you have dishonor displayed, it inhibits, it short circuits, it restrains, and blocks the supernatural, the blessing from flowing down into your life. That word inhibits means it slows it up. It's not able to flow like it should. Let's kind of dissect Matthew chapter 13. And he said that Jesus could do no mighty works, you know, because of their unbelief or because of their dishonor. So he wanted to heal. He wanted to do miracles, signs, and wonders. But because of their unbelief or their dishonor or disrespect or their familiarity to him, not seeing him as it says in Acts, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you know, with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all, you know, they didn't see that, you know. God gave Paul that revelation how God anointed Jesus. That's in the book of Acts, you know. But during his day when he was in his own hometown, the people disrespected, they disrespected and dishonored the anointing that's on his life. One of the ways you're going to find out in this class, we're going to be looking at actual examples of dishonor and actual examples of honor as the semester and the year goes by. But it'll almost appear like I'm emphasizing more on the negative side of the dishonor, because there's been so much of it. And once you recognize what it is, then you'll know how to reverse it, you know, how to begin to now sow proper seeds of honor so that the blessings of God can profusely abound in your life. Amen. Let me move on. The spirit of revelation, the visitation of the Messiah and Christ's anointing doesn't manifest itself in force when there's dishonor. And that's because the people dishonored his prophetic and apostolic gift. When Jesus said a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country, he was literally saying that familiarity in many places breeds dishonor and discontent. I'm going to read that again. That's because the people dishonored his prophetic, it's talking about Jesus, and his apostolic gift. When Jesus said that a prophet is without honor, save in his own country, and in his and he's literally saying that familiarity, becoming too common, too familiar with your man of God, in many places breeds dishonor and discontent. The supernatural will be hindered from manifesting in your life because the gift Jesus had sent to be a blessing to you now becomes too familiar or too common. The supernatural, the spirit of revelation, the visitation of Christ Messiah is not going to manifest itself in force because dishonor has been displayed. All right, so we're touching on not being familiar, not becoming too common or too buddy-buddy, you know, that as I stated earlier, there should always be a separation. You know, getting back to my military illustration, the enlisted men had a PX and had a pool and certain, you know, certain military installations. But all of your officers had different pools, different PXs. It was, and everything there was several notches nicer, you know. It was because they were honored because of their rank and their position. You know, from a natural point of view, we understand honor. And while I'm saying that and talking about military protocol, a good movie to watch that kind of illustrates honor and rank and position and how orders are come down from the top and how orders are carried out, even though you didn't hear the order directly from the head man, when it's carried down through delegated authority, you follow orders. A good movie, and I got a digital copy of it. I watch it 2-3 times a year. It's called A Few Good Men. It does a really good job of showing. But at the same time, you know, if you're not careful, one of the things as you begin to advance in the things of God, you want to stay humble. You want to walk in humility. Don't let arrogance, don't let pride, and we're going to talk about arrogance in these classes and also pride and how pride is the root of all sin and before pride coming before the fall or before destruction, you know. So these are enemies of us walking in honor, but I'm not going to get into that right now. We're going to get into that at a later point. All right, I'm trying to make sure I'm covering all key points. Another thing I want to point out is that when a man of God is anointed of God, Jesus, as we know, the Bible says that, you know, God anointed him with the Holy Ghost and power. You know, when a man of God is anointed, they literally, when they're up and ministering, they literally have turned into another man. Even though you see them after the natural, they're full of, controlled by the Holy Spirit. They're moving in another realm. And you got to see when that anointing comes on them and respect that anointing and yield to it, because that's where the blessings of God come. But when you allow your man of God to become too familiar to you, you have just limited what God can do through him in your life, and that's what you don't want to do. All right, let's move on. It is required by God that we honor every life source. Then he says, give honor to whom honor is due. That's coming from Romans 13 and 7. We probably won't get in the meat of 13 and 7 today, but we will probably next week. But it is required by God that we honor every life source. So then he says, give honor to whom honor is due, especially means here that we should honor a life source. Anytime people dishonor a life source, it unleashes all kinds of satanic attack, generational curses, poverty, and all kinds of barrenness and famine can come upon a person's life when you walk in that dishonor. We're going to look at stories of how men in the Bible dishonored David. You know, Saul dishonoring Samuel by not obeying the prophet, and how because of that, you know, even though God wanted to bless them, his hand had to be backed off, and instead of them going to their full potential, they got cut short simply because they walked in dishonor. All right, let me move on. All life comes from God, who is life, and we talked about that earlier. When people blatantly dishonor a life source, no matter what life source it is, it violates the principle of God's sovereign existence. I'm gonna read it again. All life comes from God, who is life, Zoe life as we know him. And when people blatantly dishonor a life source, somebody who's a giver, an originator, a nurturer of life, no matter what life source it is, it violates the principle of God's existence. Also, anytime a life source is violated, God withdraws his blessing at any time and on any level. So it doesn't matter. A life source is someone who was sent unto your life to give, as I stated earlier, and to nourish life, an originator of life, physical or spiritual, a giver or a releaser of God's life. Because God is life and they are nurturing God's government, which brings life, they are life sources and are deserving of honor. Amen? All right, moving on. Now, this is a more of an observation, but it's biblical. We just saw it in Matthew's chapter 13. But since I've been affiliated with Word of Life Christian Center, LTMA, Ever-Increasing Word Training Center, I've seen people come from all over the United States to Darrell. I've seen people come from foreign countries to sit on the apostles' feet. They don't live in the same locale as our apostle, but they come for the word. And I've noticed, and this is, you know, I don't like saying it, but they make a greater demand on the anointing that's on the man of God's life than some of the local citizens or local people or local church members who live 10, 15, 20 miles away who are in this locale, you know, because they allow their man of God to become too familiar. You know, it's familiarity sometimes breeds contempt. When you see something, you take it for granted. You know, if you got to travel or make an effort to get to somewhere, to be somewhere, you enjoy it because, you know, effort had been taken to make that journey. But if you just got to get in your car and drive 5 miles, even though you there's a respect there, but just like Jabez was more honorable than his brother. Didn't mean his brethren wasn't honorable, but he was more honorable. And what I'm endeavoring to do is to make sure that wherever you are and in wherever area of life or in ministry you are, that you learn how to be more honorable, you know, or to sow more honor, to because that's where the blessing, that's where the benefits come in. Amen? Okay. And I got a comment here that's, you know, what happened to Jesus in his own hometown. They were offended at him. In Matthew 13 and 57, it says, and they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save or except in his own country or in his own house. Okay, now listen to this and keep this, tuck this away. When you become offended, you turn off and in, or off in, think about the word offense, or off in. You off in the process of blessing that God had for you through that apostolic source that he had sent to bless you. Now, absorb this. I'm going to read it again. When you become offended OFFENDEND. You turn off and you end, or you off in the process of blessing that God had for you through that apostolic source that God had sent to bless you. So one of the things we're going to be talking about later on in the classes is how not to walk in offense. Keeping your heart pure, keeping your motives pure, always examining your heart. As David said, you know, search me, O Lord, you know my thoughts, you know my ways, you know, and lead me in the way, you know, of everlasting, and see if there's any wickedness or anything on the inside of me that I can't see, expose it, reveal it, and remove it, so I can move on and advance in the things of God. Because, I mean, it's so easy to let, the Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's so easy to let little small things, you know, offend you. But, you know, you can't allow offense to stay. You got to, one of the things I always do is I don't like the sun to go down on my wrath. If I'm upset about something, which is not often, but I like to get it straight before the sun goes down. I don't want to go to sleep with offense or unforgiveness or anything that I might have said or done to anybody to hinder me and to hinder my spiritual growth. Because it's like a cancer. It'll eat at you. I've seen people who get offended, oh, Lord Jesus, over small matters and leave the church, leave the very brook, the very source of blessing that God sent for them and sent them to that particular place. You know, there have been times I've had to counsel or either, you know, share with people, and they have allowed the offense to keep them out of the blessing. And then the person who they were offended with, they kept going strong, they kept advancing, you know, but those persons who are offended are left stuck in the mud because they can't go no further because they haven't gotten that straight. They haven't released it and let it go. You know, whatever sins you retain will be retained unto you. Whatever sins you remit will be remitted. You want to remit it, let it go. That's a scripture. I remember when I was in college, this one guy came up to me and says, what does that scripture mean? I quoted something. I wasn't quite sure what I said. But then the Lord showed me. He said, no, if you retain something, it's going to be retained, even though you weren't the one at fault. Because a lot of times somebody can do you wrong and you get offended by it, even though you didn't initiate the incident, you know, they can ask for forgiveness and move on, and you left stuck in the mud because you don't want to let it go. Let it go. Amen. Let's move on. All right. And it also said in that verse of scripture in verse 58 that he could do no mighty works because of their unbelief or because of their dishonor. You know, he couldn't do no mighty works. He wanted to, but he couldn't because of the offense that the people that were around him displayed. Trying to make sure I'm catching everything that needs to be said. In this class, and you'll kind of begin to, once you, after three or four class sessions, you're going to see, as I state, I do a lot of repeating, but the main purpose for that is because I want to drill it on the inside of you. You know, next week, we're going to talk a little bit on power structures. Matter of fact, I have a few minutes. I can kind of start the process of power structures, and if you got your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. We're going to hit that right quick once I find Romans. Romans 4, 14, 13. Okay, Romans 13 and 1. This scripture is used a lot in the area of spiritual authority, but it has some strong implications of honor in it also. It said, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisted the power, resisted the ordinance of God, and they shall, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For the rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise in the same. Then you go down to verse six. It says, "For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers." It's talking about paying tribute to those people who are in authority, because they are God's ministers, attending continually unto this thing. Then it goes on to say, render therefore to all their dues, or what's owed them, to the respect, the honor that's owed them. He said, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. Verse 8 says, owe no man nothing but to love him, but to love one another, for he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. Now, the part I want to, and I'm going to focus on going into next week, is honor to whom honor. You know, those who are deserving of honor need to be honored. You know, it says render to all their dues, you know, customs and tributes. You know, customs have to do with the customs of a country's land. When you go into another country, they have different customs, different rules, different regulations. Years ago, we were in Barbados for a Money Coming to You conference, and they drive on the other side of the road, you know, and we had to get used to driving. Their currency was different. Their way of life was a little different. So we had to get used to the customs and the rules and the if we wanted to make it, or to, you know, to not be on the wrong side of the law in that country, we had to follow their customs, you know. So you have to render custom to whom custom. Tribute means taxes, you know, or duty. You know, when you go to a certain country, there's a duty tax or custom, you know. Custom to whom custom is due, you know. That tribute money is what I'm saying, you know. So that's important, that we render to all their dues. And fear, there's a reverential fear, you know. That's a respect, you know. My dad was a staff sergeant in the military. When he spoke, I had a reverential fear, because I knew he wasn't playing. He meant what he said, and he said what he meant, you know. I remember one time, he used to always get on me about getting up as a man, getting ready, and be having due diligence to get ready to make a living, and don't be slothful, don't be, you know, just, you know, grow up, son, you know, because you're growing up to be a man. And one day I got ready for school. I was probably in the eighth or the ninth grade, and I had got up and got ready, you know, ate my breakfast, and I still had about 15 or 20 minutes left before the bus was going to be coming. So I laid back down in my bed, which I had already made up. My dad came down the hall, and he looked in the room, saw me laying down. He kind of gave me one of them long looks. I wonder what daddy's thinking about. And then he just left, and I didn't think no more about it after that. But when he came back, he had a belt in his hand, and he began to whip me. And he said, son, say, you're a young man. You done got up. Ain't no sense in you laying back down in this bed. You can get up, after the trash, do something, find something to do until you're time for your bus to go. But don't be slothful. You know, those little things, you know, helped me along the way. Honoring him, respecting him, you know, he taught me how to honor my mom, because I watched him honor his mother. You know, I'm going to get into some areas. My mom, she's 86 years old. I talk to her sometimes two times a day, three times a day, but I make sure that all her needs are met, because I saw honor displayed through him, and because of that, I honor her. With that said, my time is up, and I'll see each and every one of you next week. Be blessed. Amen.